Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another session of Ask Dr. Rhonda. This is Dr. Rhonda Waters, CEO of Mutare Hypnosis, located in Boston, but around the world by Skype. Today's quick topic, I just want to say a few things about this because I've seen this go wrong, is setting up designated drivers. New Year's Eve is tomorrow. Time to organize that for today. My suggestion this year is those of you who are control freaks, and you know who you are, okay, myself included, myself, wrap myself in that robe. I contend that control freaks make the best designated drivers. We want to drive the bus anyhow, so which is one great way to make sure it goes where you want it to go. But a little preparation can make a big difference in organizing an effective designated driver program. You should by now, by today, the designated driver for your group or walker or what have you should be selected by today. That person must stay completely sober. No champagne at midnight, have ginger ale, do something. Some people, once they get one drink, the train goes off the track. When you're the designated driver, you're responsible in many ways for the care of the people who'll be riding with you. I have heard, and you may have heard me tell a story last year, people who are deciding how many, I was at a Chili's restaurant here, and in the next booth were a bunch of gals who were at a bachelorette party, and they were discussing how many drinks the designated driver could have, and they were settling at around three. Yeah, three margaritas. That's a good plan to get out and drive around in the snow. Or remember, it's going to be dark, nighttime. You could be going someplace you're not familiar with. Anyhow, my point is that the designated driver must stay sober. Now, if you live in one of those states where medical marijuana is legal or marijuana is legal, that may mean that you don't spend time sitting in the room with the people who are smoking like fiends. Sorry. But, you know, those folk are probably not going anywhere anyhow. Did I say that? But if you're a designated driver and there's going to be alcohol involved or any other substance that might impair you, that if you were stopped, if it's a substance and you were stopped for and you could be arrested for it, if you're the designated driver, you can't have that. But that's okay. You can still have a great time. The great time isn't had because you're liquored up or something else. It's all part of a process. But I want to encourage you amongst your friends to pick out your designated driver or who's going to walk you guys across town or make sure nobody's kidnapped or whatever. I shouldn't say that. But you want to plan ahead. The first step in having a successful designated driver thing is to plan it ahead. So they agree, experts have looked into this, and they've agreed that it's the pre-selected designated driver increases the chances that the individual will be sober and take his or her duty seriously when the night is over. So you don't want to have everybody get together and then draw the short straw. You want it decided before. So if you want to do that today, because this is the day ahead, do it today, and that person knows in advance that it's not going to be that they're not going to be drinking that day. Two, select a designated driver fairly. Now, you may have someone like me. I'm very popular this time of year because I don't drink. Make sure you're picking the designated driver fairly. So if you have somebody in the group who doesn't drink, they're probably getting tired of driving you around. But that's okay. A lot of them would prefer to make sure somebody was sober if they're riding with you. They definitely, if you have somebody who doesn't drink and they're riding with you, they definitely don't want somebody who's liquored up to drive. My rule about people driving in the car that I'm in is they can have like one or two beers. That's it. Then I'm the driver. Or they, you know, I've shoved quite a few people over to the side, or I just ride with somebody else or whatever. But that's just me. You do what you think best. But I've seen more than one gal usually. I've seen some guys doing this too. Getting a car, and they'll say, I'll wake Steve up if he falls asleep. I'm not making fun of you, Steve. Just using the name. You can't do that. The person who's liquored up is driving. They're responsible, and that won't help your family members at the time. So you want to make sure if you worked out to select the designated driver fairly. So you rotate it around to try to figure out if everybody wants to have a cocktail, figure out how to rotate it around. And maybe you're starting this for the beginning of the year. This is just a New Year's Eve. There's going to be many more parties and festivities. It ain't that big a deal. Three, considering peer pressure. A lot of young people use a designated driver who's a peer, which might be okay if the other people respect them. If that designated driver is, to use a term, the weakest link, nobody's going to pay them any attention when they try to get them into the car. So, like, roughhousing and people, you know, shoving each other around, those kind of things happen. You want to make sure that the designated driver is somebody who's solid and is impervious to peer pressure. So, say, for example, what I've seen my friends do after a period of time is, now, my friends are way too old to be having this issue, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Somebody would be designated, so if we go to somebody's house for a party, then all the keys for everybody's car gets locked up. Nobody can drive home. Or all the keys go to the designated driver so that when they come back from wherever it is, nobody can, you know, decide to go home on their own. But make sure everybody is honest about that you actually have given your keys in if they're supposed to be. You want to make sure, item number four, that it's an experienced driver. Some groups, you'd be surprised. Not only are they picking the weakest link, they're picking somebody who got their license 5 minutes ago. And generally, midnight is not a rough time to drive, but New Year's Eve, there are a lot of patrols out to stop people from drinking and driving and what have you. So there are a lot of patrols out. And sometimes when they stop the car, if everybody else in the car is liquored up, they may smell it and they may have that person get out because they can't tell them from the smell. They don't know until somebody gets out. So plus, especially, there's no instantaneous test for marijuana. So all they have to do is say, you look glazed, and now everybody's got to get out of the car. Follow the instructions of the police. Well, unless you want to spend your night in jail, don't try and act like you have rules and rights and what have you. If it's a checkpoint that you're driving through, just do what they ask. Make sure you have all your paperwork, have your license, your registration, all the things you regularly need to have, because you don't want to get picked up because you forgot you changed cars or something like or the other. You also want to make sure that designated driver, if it's a friend of yours coming in from out of town or somebody you don't know that well, ask them about their current driving record. Because if they've already got four OUIs, unless, of course, they're going to stay sober. You have to decide what you want to do. But if there's somebody you don't know, it could be a bad idea. Or they could be driving somebody else's car. There are people who've been arrested before. I borrowed my aunt's car. Well, auntie didn't know it, so she reported it stolen. Now everybody's in the clink. Planning ahead will help you prevent a lot of other issues. And I find a lot of people aren't really aware of what happens to a person when they wind up and they get an OUI or DUI. That's operating under the influence, which is anything pretty much that impairs your driving, which could be such things as you're trying to drink coffee and eat at the same time, texting while driving. And I think please don't text and drive, particularly when you're liquored up. But at first offense, I looked it up in Massachusetts just so I could put some of this stuff out there, people realize it. When we see people and they're arrested for OUI, and usually the only time we see them on the news is when something horrible has happened. You being sober won't protect all your friends if something else happens, somebody else crosses the road. But if you're liquored up and you run into somebody else, your life is pretty much ruined. And I don't think drunk driving is an accident because you got drunk and then you got in the car and drove. So the good thing I'm not in charge of that. And here in Massachusetts, they'll say you can get a shorter sentence, a better chance of negotiating a manslaughter charge than an OUI because of the history of how things went. When we see my point at this right now is to say that there are unseen circumstances that happen. We think, oh, it's a big deal. I get a first offense. So what? I have to go to driving school. Well, let me just say in Massachusetts, if you look up and there's plenty of attorneys who'll help you with OUI or DUI, a first offense can trigger severe penalties. Most drivers don't incur the maximum penalties, but even a minimum will cost thousands of dollars and require considerable time. Penalties increase if there's a child in the vehicle or if there's an issue with the police or the blood alcohol is above, and here in Massachusetts it's 0.08. If it's over that, if a person can expect a first offender can expect a year of probation, license suspension for 45 to 90 days, and a 16-week mandatory alcohol and drug education program. Okay, people, you can avoid all that by organizing yourself to take a taxi home or having a designated driver or staying home, the party's in one location. So I want you to remember that though there are many penalties one doesn't even realize. Suspension of your license. And rest assured, you say, oh, nobody's going to catch me. For the first 30 days, they're looking to see if somebody's breaking that rule. You know, so when somebody, don't just assume, there's nobody watching me. That's not a good plan. So I want you to remember that you want your New Year's Eve to be a positive, upbeat one. And if you're the one, like I say, we control freaks. If you're the control freak in the group, you take on the really trusted task of making sure, as best anybody can, that you and your friends get home and have a great time. You can have a good time and not be liquored up. Then there's another party coming on. There's another situation that's going to happen where somebody else in the group will be, you know, set up a rotation. Somebody else in the group will be the designated driver. But make sure that you are prepared in advance, that you're ready to have a positive time with your friends. And, you know, if you share the load, it'll be better for all of you. But you want to make sure, as best as you can tell, that you are prepared to have a positive evening for your friends, because none of you want to wake up in the hospital. None of you want to have caused an accident or been part of an accident or even witness an accident. So preparing ahead, planning now, and if you have young people in your lives, because you remember when you were 16, 17, 18, and you were going to be invincible and nothing could ever happen to you, to make sure that the young people in your life have a designated driver. If your children or grandchildren are going out somewhere, you want to meet and greet the designated driver and make sure they are on track and they understand what being a designated driver really means early and in advance. I want you to have a safe New Year's Eve to start off 2016 in the best way possible, and that means everybody in your family and among your friends is happy and healthy, and you can avoid the situation that might happen from an OUI or DUI, which is a burden that you don't need to carry. A little planning preparation, you won't have any problems. So I want to wish everyone who listens to this call a happy new year. Be safe out there, and I hope to be talking to you again soon. Thanks for listening to a session of Ask Dr. Rhonda.